Hello, folks. Welcome to Afterthought. This week, we're going to forego our usual pre-show chicanery to tell you all about an exciting development right here at System Mastery.
That's right, Jeff. Today, we are super excited to tell you all about the new System Mastery Kickstarter. We're getting ready to roll out a new Universal RPG Super System, and we are pumped to bring you a preview of the awesome adventure ahead.
The revolutionary new System Mastery Universal Game Engine, or SMUG, is nothing short of the greatest and most innovative RPG in human history. Let's face it, listeners, people have been trying since 1975 to craft a fantasy game that accurately represents the realism of war and death in the Middle Ages, the high fantasy of the Tolkienian luminaries, and the best aspects of Star's War, Trek, Frontier, Galactica, and Blazers all in a single system. None have succeeded before today.
Gygax, Cook, Arneson, Symbieta, McCracken, Porter Jr., mere children with blocks.
And this is your chance to get in on the ground floor.
While a lot of our SMUG rules and systems are still proprietary and top secret, we're here today to share with you a sampling of just a few of the genius new systems that ensure System Mastery Universal Gaming is nothing short of the greatest game in history or the future. To begin, let's discuss the traditional 9-point alignment grid of Dungeons & Dragons Yore.
Truly a restrictive, pathetic tool.
That's correct. But with SMUG's new Z-axis alignment dynamic interlock subsystem, we've taken the boring representation of the morality of your character to the third dimension.
Wow.
And it's not just a new 3-deep alignment option list. Why settle for 9 paltry alignments when System Mastery is prepared to offer you 45?
You see, we've integrated the traditional law, chaos, and good-evil alignment measuring scales with the universally respected psychologist and researcher Abraham Maslow's hierarchy of needs. Lawful good? These words are meaningless without the dynamic interlock Z-axis of need-derived truth. Now, lawful good esteem-seeking, that's a character. For decades, nerds have argued over the true alignment of Batman. Chaotic good? Neutral evil? The simple answer is that we've used inefficient tools this whole time. Blind men feeling at the flanks of an elephant.
Truly, we were as infants.
We aren't content to merely fix alignment, of course. The SMUG engine is set to turn the history of skill systems on its very ear.
Listeners and supplicants, you know my disdain for skill systems that are bloated with unreasonable cruft and explanations that would bore even the drunkest of town elves. The SMUG engine will summarily end this madness in a lightning stroke of God-granted brilliance with our proprietary, semi-trademarked, two skills and two skills alone system. In SMUG engine, you can choose to resolve any conflict through your dynamic band of choice to either fight or seduce. In our engine, you can seduce a computer, the court of lamprey mages in the damp below, a ticking bomb, or in fact just about anything, as long as it's the opposite sex.
Naturally!
And while we're slimming down the unrelenting overbloat of skill systems, we've also corrected the traditional lack of coverage of aspects of character strengths. With our new statistics engine, it's second to none.
Most games merely hobble your creative ambitions with statistics that are prearranged. Strength? Comeliness? Mental affinity? Nothing more than shackles created by someone else to describe your character's greatness. Not in the SMUG engine. In our innovative new You Do It system, all statistics are up to you. Names, functions, numbers, everything. You want a mental surprise of 35? Write that down. 8 dots in portliness? Go for it. A strawberry in fulminations? Weird, but we're not judging.
My character has a 7 of diamonds in malapropism.
He sure does. Listeners, by now I'm sure you've already taken your wallets out and thrown them as far as you can in the direction you think we are right now. We appreciate that gusto, but that's just inefficient.
Well then, how can they get the SMUG engine? And soon, do they need to give us power of attorney, their cars and firstborn?
Yes, all of those things. But for now, they just need to support our upcoming SMUG engine Kickstarter. The SMUG engine, the only limit to your game is our imagination. And welcome to Afterthought, the podcast where we get together every other week and talk about whatever the hell we want. I'm your host, Jeff. With me, as always, is your host, John. John, how are you this week?
I'm great. I'm so good. I'm a little hungry, but I'm good. I'm hungry for content.
Hungry for content. What do you mean? You mean you're hungry to do an hour's worth of talking about nothing?
That's what I'm hungry for.
Oh, man, I can't wait.
I'm hungry to bring the people content.
So this is going to be, the first episode that comes out after, and, you know, we'll get to the fact that we talked about Star Frontiers last week.
Yeah.
We'll get there.
Star Frontiers.
But this is the first episode to come out after we made the big announcement about dropping that $600 Patreon goal to play Fatal.
Yep.
And I thought it might be a fun time to talk about that and establish why we made that decision and... Not necessarily where we're going from there, because we have an announcement time planned for that. We'll tell you what the new goal is on the next episode of System Mastery. But for now, I just thought it was important that people knew we aren't just dropping goals while you're pushing towards them all willy-nilly. That was a conscious and reasonable decision, I think.
Yeah.
That game is not a game you should play.
No. Basically, like we had in the letter that we wrote, it's one of those things where... It's one thing to take the game and hold it up to the light and go, all right, you have to look at this because it's terrible and you need to understand why it's terrible.
People can make stuff like this if you leave it unchecked. Every time someone calls someone else a fag at your game table and you don't do anything, it leads towards someone making a Fatal.
Yeah, and it's the same thing of like people reading Mein Kampf in a, you know, scholarly situation. You go, okay, this is important historically. You need to be able to understand it. But to then take that game and be like, and now we're going to play it, is just sort of giving it too much.
I almost don't even want to do the bonus content for it. I mean, not just because making a character in that game requires you to roll the dice, roll percentile dice 160 times at the start.
Oh, man. You know what I found? Was the old character generator.
Oh, you found an engine? Good.
Oh, yeah. And it's just hit a button and I managed to get like... some horrible kobold. And I was like, okay, great.
Perfect. Done. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to do what the people want and sit there and roll percentile dice forever to come up with just a bunch of average numbers that represent some dope with a widely stretched butt.
Yep.
That's okay. So, that's what happened with that. I'm actually going to take full responsibility on this.
Yep.
Because it was my idea. And I didn't bother telling John, because if I had asked him, he would have been like, meh.
I would have been like, no, dude, no. That's not a thing we're going to do.
Ultimately, even if we wanted to do it, we'd have to... I don't think we make enough money on the Patreon now to pay someone to run that game.
There is not enough money that we make to pay someone to run Fatal.
Yeah. So that said, at the moment, the only existing Patreon goal is that at $3,000, we'll buy a pig.
Yeah, and someone just today posted a link on our Facebook... That was a link to Ethel the Wonder Pig getting a bath, and that was adorable, and I look forward to giving a bath to my own pig.
Yes, someday we'll give a bath to a pig. About six times what we make right now from now.
Yes.
That'll be the day.
Yeah, I figure probably we'll give it a couple months, we'll hit that, and then it's go time on pig.
All we need to do is be six times bigger than we are right now.
Look, it's fine.
We'll run out of RPGs. We'll be covering other things by then.
At that point, we'll be enough of a celebrity that all we'll do is talk about how hard it is to be a celebrity.
We're gonna evolve into floating energy before we become celebrities. in the time scale of things, if System Mastery still exists by the time we are rich enough to get the pig, we will be floating energy and the Earth will have been consumed by the sun.
And unfortunately, at that point, it means our pig will also just be energy. I mean, it's pig energy, but
yeah,
still.
Yeah, so basically, we might as well amend the goal now to, at $3,000 per episode...
We will ascend into pure energy and get a pig energy pig.
And adopt an energy pig.
Energy pig.
That'll be the pig's name, regardless of whether or not it is an energy pig. So, okay, that's what's going on with that. There will be a new goal, a new roadblock for us, but instead of it being something terrible, it's going to be something awesome.
Yep.
That's the whole idea here. So look forward to that, and you'll see that new goal announced next week on our next System Mastery when we actually review Fatal.
Yep.
Yeah, we're still doing that.
Yeah, still happening.
Still happening. Can't get away from it. It's just what's going to happen. So, John, we actually already said it. We read Star Frontiers.
Yep.
Did you have anything you wanted to talk about from Star Frontiers?
Well, I think the big thing on that one is it was interesting to see the people that were very appreciative of our joy in this game.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of why we liked it, of course, was covered in the episode. The very interesting races, the choices on that. One of the complaints of there's not really a whole lot to do in this universe until you get to the later books.
Yeah,
because you don't get starships until like the Nighthawks.
Nighthawks, which incidentally is the coolest name. I almost bought it the other day, even though it was like $80.
Oh yeah.
I almost bought it the other day just because that name is awesome and because I actually legitimately really enjoyed Star Frontiers.
Yeah.
So I came this close to buying the one copy of Nighthawks that's floating around in our FLGS, which, what would I do with it? I'd have to wait for one of those supplement spectaculars or actually run the game, and Lord knows I have a lot of other games to run or to be run through lined up right now.
Oh, yeah. I mean, as much as we enjoyed Star Frontiers, it would be pretty far back in the line of games that I would want to have run or to run.
Hey, well, there's a thing with us. Just saying that we really enjoy these games and we would totally play them doesn't necessarily indicate that we have the time. and a lot of the time, when I say, oh, I loved this game, what I meant was, I love reading this. Because for me, reading role-playing games is just a hobby in and of itself.
Yeah.
I'm doing that all the time. I'm doing it whether or not I'm reading for the show. I can't remember the last time I read a book that didn't have like D6 in it somewhere.
Right? God, yeah. It has been so long since I have just sat down and read a nice novel. A novel, say, set in a galaxy far, far away. Only there was a point in time in my life where I could be, I don't know, incentivized to read a novel. A novel set in space, perhaps.
Or just on some planet that seems to be all one biome.
Perhaps.
One of those.
One of those great things.
So, I'm not sure. Incentivized how? What do you... I mean, one of our problems with getting the Star Wars, what do we get? I think we've officially settled on the name Jedi Mastery.
No, I still like my name way better.
Well, tell us what your name is.
Mine was The Expounded Universe.
Sure, and mine was Cannon Fodder with one N.
Yeah.
So, we've got three names for it, people. Let's just let everyone say, don't vote, because we're not going to put a poll out.
I'm not going to do any effort on this.
Just announce out loud to yourself right now, or tweet directly at us, which one of these you like better. We have The Expounded Universe.
Yes, that's mine.
I've got to admit, I actually very much enjoy.
Yep.
So that's John's, The Expounded Universe. There's mine, which was Cannon Fodder with one N, so you get it's a joke.
Yeah.
Which everyone has told me is too obscure or too clever for its own good. Like, it's not like I'm saying it's super smart. What I'm saying, it's kind of up its own butt clever. So I appreciate that, but I still think it's a fun name.
Uh-huh.
And then finally, the Milquetoast compromise that works with our brand identity, Jedi Mastery.
Yeah, how much do you want us to stick to the brand?
Yeah.
How on brand should we be?
Does everything we make need to end with a mastery?
I mean, we've got Afterthought. It doesn't. It's fine.
Oh, no. It says Mastery underneath the Afterthought.
Afterthought Mastery.
For a year and a half now, I've been saying, welcome to Afterthought Mastery, and you haven't really noticed. And
well, yeah, there's a range of sound that I can't hear, I don't pick up on.
And it's Jeff talking.
Yeah, I just sort of can read lips fairly well, and then I just respond with what I assume you are saying.
You just laugh when I'm done.
Yes, whatever you said.
That's so interesting.
Indeed.
Oh, man, you've been active listening to me for 3 years. Tell me more about that thing you were talking about earlier.
Please go on. That's very interesting.
Why don't we continue this scintillating conversation at my place? Oh, man. So, yeah, those are the three names we're working on for the Star Wars book podcast. We are still working on the medium by which that's going to come into existence. Obviously, it's made of pure gold.
Obviously.
We can't just put that out there and just be done. That is a money bag.
Yeah.
So, we're trying to... Let's be telling our audience that. You will pay for it.
You will pay for this.
All I'm saying is that I don't think it works as a $600 goal level.
Huh.
It's got to be something. We're still working on it. It's happening. Have you even touched the book?
No. I mean, literally, I have not touched the book. I have put it on a shelf and have left it alone.
Just sitting there ruining the books it's also touching.
Oh, yeah. It's just creeping over to other books and ruining them.
I'm really looking forward to doing it, although I am aware that that means I'm going to have to buy two copies of each one of those books as we go through.
Oh, that's what e-readers are for.
Actually, it's hard to find them on as PDFs. The PDF market for Star Wars Expanded Universe novels is pretty much limited to stuff that came out after the prequels.
Huh.
So you can
Who
find
would
all,
have thought?
Yeah, you can find all these books about the Clone Wars and shit, but it's hard to find, you know, the True Set Bacula or Michael
True Scott Bacula?
Yeah, the True Scott Bacula is
I'm Scott Bacula. Yes, I'm the real Bacula.
All the other Scott Baculas are probably Draculas. You can tell from the markings.
Oh, man.
It's just hard to find those old books. We want to find some of the X-Wing trilogy, or quintilogy starring Coran Horn, Nascent Jedi. It's tricky to find those as PDF. On the other hand, there are warehouses full of those books, and I can get those fairly easily.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah.
I'm sure someone's just got a big old stack of them somewhere.
What I need is a big old stack of two each. So
I need two big stacks of them.
That's going to be the first step in the research. Luckily, we do have copies of what will definitely be the first episode of that nonsense, which is, what's it called again? It's the one set between...
Oh, it's Shadows of the Empire.
Thank you. The one that's got its own PlayStation video game.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Shadows of the Empire.
I had that shit on N64.
Yeah, that's what it was on. You're right. Starring Prince Xizor and Leia dressed up in that outfit that she was wearing in Return of the Jedi, that bounty hunter outfit.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she's in that a lot. Yeah, also...
That's my fetish.
Yeah, I know. Also, Chewie gets a ridiculous flat-top haircut, and he wears a lot of armor, and he starts going by... Oh, I can't remember that either, but he went by some other Wookiee's
Chew
name.
Dog?
No, it was like Bosch or something. It was like Bausch.
No, he's not Bosch.
No, that's you're thinking of Bosk. Or maybe you're thinking of like the detective.
Yeah.
On the
Detective Bosch.
On the Hulu TV show or whatever it is. I think it might be an Amazon Prime. So okay. So Star Frontiers. Yeah, there were a lot of old guard folks who came out of the woodwork and like, man, you guys made me sound like I'm a million years old, but I am really glad that you enjoyed this game.
Yeah. Because it is definitely one that I'm like, man, I appreciate this. I am glad that this existed.
Yeah, no, it's fantastic. I very much wish that it had been a thing that stayed, that continued to grow over the years. And people told us that in certain ways it did. Like D20 Modern, the third edition OGL D20 Modern, had a space variant. Hmm. And the races that they used for it were the races from Star Frontiers, but with their names filed off.
Well, yeah.
And so on. So apparently they've been around. They've had some success here and there, or at least been famous enough to get referenced in places.
Yeah.
And that's fantastic to hear.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's funny because my biggest complaint about it was you can't be a spaceship captain because this game doesn't have spaceships. And that drew a whole bunch of people that are like, I love this game. And yes, you can. You just need to buy more books.
Buy more books.
I don't do research. That's my whole thing.
Yeah. No. Always, always on the merit of the book we are reading.
Yeah. So now I do know that Nighthawks exists. And goddamn that name, though.
That name.
So good.
I know.
Nighthawks with with a K.
Nighthawk. Everyone loves Nighthawk.
Got that K. I'm going to be working on some Nighthawk.
Working on my Nighthawk.
There it is. That's what I wanted. You knew.
You knew. You knew what I needed.
It's not even my birthday. Or is it? You don't know, listeners.
Yes, they do. I announced your birthday last time.
Oh, fuck. Damn it. Well, you might have been lying.
I could have been lying. I usually am.
I mean, because one of us always lies.
And one of us always tells the truth.
Yeah. So if you can figure out who, listeners...
The problem is, if I'm the one that always lies, and I say one of us always tells the truth, then that means not one of us always tells the truth, which means we're both lying.
Damn it.
Except if you're lying, and you said one of us always lies, that means I don't always lie, so maybe I'm telling the truth.
Yeah, but what it does mean is that I am definitely a liar.
Yes.
Okay, well that's reasonable. Would you maybe like to answer some questions?
You know what? Sure. Let's go ahead and do that.
This has been pretty shaggy, all things considered.
You know, I'm going to say probably not the hairiest of our openings on these, but it's a bit shaggy.
It was a little rambly. It was a little mystery machine. All right, here we go. So I've got a question here. You're going to love this one. This comes to us from Pat R. Har. I don't know.
Pat R. Har.
I'm guessing that's like his real name, and I feel, you know, but we're just going to pronounce
it.
But
he is an alien.
Pat R. Har. Okay, great. And he says, and I love that I'm going to ask you this question, so are you actually going to do a live play of the Gamma World Mad Max crawl? Because if not, I'm totally going to steal it for convention play.
Don't you dare. Don't you dare steal that.
Yeah, you leave that alone. We're not going to do anything with it, but neither should you.
It's ours. It is only ours.
We called dibs on it. I peed on it a little, and John licked it.
Yeah, I peed. It's now our IP.
Yes, it's our intellectual pee, which is what I call IPs for short.
Yeah, intellectual pee.
Intellectual pee. It's a perfectly reasonable thing to call them.
Exactly.
Yeah. No, go ahead. Steal it. We don't care. Were you planning to steal it? Oh, for convention play. Well, that's actually awesome.
Here, okay, I'll allow you to do that, yeah. But only if it's a convention we are at, and only if you bring us a hot dog from Top Dog specifically.
Top Dog. No matter where the convention is, you have to go to the Top Dog in Berkeley and then find us at the convention. Warning, that's going to be tricky because we will have left to go to the Top Dog in Berkeley.
It'll probably save you some time if you just meet us at Top Dog and we just game there.
I think a more fair thing to offer him is, by all means, steal Mad Max Crawl for convention play. Hell, steal anything that we've ever sort of spitballed around on the show for convention play, but make sure you mention us because we want more listeners.
Yeah.
That's reasonable. So if you run Mad Max Crawl, if you run Space 1989, Blimpleggers, any of those ridiculous things that we've spitballed over the years, just say, hey, I got this idea on System Mastery, a podcast you should listen to.
Yeah, that you have to listen to.
You have to.
And then
to.
Before you start the game, you just play an episode.
Just play a whole episode. Guys, during character creation, listen to this entire episode of System Mastery. Also, this afterthought.
Also, there's going to be a quiz.
Which one of them sounds the most like the other one?
Which one of them always tells the truth, and which one always lies?
This podcast is the worst. This isn't a question. It's just on the sheet. All right. I don't know if we're going to do anything with it. It's certainly one of the many things that we are considering doing something with, which is just a nebulous cloud of other things.
our cloud of potential L.
Yeah. We're working on it. We're trying to carve out time for things like that. But in the meantime, I encourage you to steal it for convention play because it's an awesome idea.
Yeah.
So there you go. All right. Let's move on. Next question comes to us from Fuzzy Gundam, who asks, what are your experiences with the Star Trek expanded universe? Have any of you read the comics and novels where they cross over with the X-Men?
Yes.
I've read the comics. I have not read the novels.
I read the novel.
Well, tell me all about it, John. You seem to be familiar with at least that one little segment of Star Trek universe.
Oh, my God. So I'm way more of a Trekkie than I am a Star Wars fan.
Okay.
And the crossover novel of the X-Men, and it was specifically Next Gen.
Oh, God. All right.
Because sure. There is more. There yeah. is a or the original comics. Series X-Men, and yeah. then there's the Next Gen X-Men.
Yeah, I was going to say, the comics were them meeting, like, Kirk and Bones and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
So that's what I'm familiar with.
Yeah, with the novel, it was things like Professor X being amazed at Deanna Troi's ability to read emotions from, like, hundreds of thousands of kilometers away because she's like, oh, I sense something on that ship that's way the fuck over there. And he's like, wow, that is way farther than my powers go.
That's true. She has very long range on her powers. On the other hand, they are useless.
Oh, yeah.
Except in season one when she was still a straight-up telepath and could talk to Riker.
Yeah. Like, then they just really reeled that in.
Like, whoa, he's going to grow one of them anti-telepathy beards. Well, that's what the beard is for, by the way, if you've ever wondered about Riker. It's because he got tired of having her all up in his mental mind.
Oh, yeah, you find that out in the novel when Professor X attempts to read his mind. He's like, damn, I can't get through the beard.
Oh, man, is that thing made of the same stuff as Juggernaut's helmet? Yes, it is.
Who knew?
They'll call this the Riker maneuver.
But you also get a scene of, like, Wolverine and Worf on the holodeck doing, like, hunting stuff.
Oh, at least they're hunting. I was figuring it was just going to be yet another excuse for Worf to get his ass kicked to show how badass something is.
No, it's them doing, like, a weird jungle hunt thing, and so he's got his bat
left. They just playing jungle hunt?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so they're just sitting there with a Commodore 64 playing some sweet, sweet jungle hunt.
And then the whole thing is there was some planet that, like, got infected with some virus that was causing mutations that were basically creating mutants.
All right.
Yeah, it was weird.
I want to see Data interacting with a ludicrous Marvel robot. Like, can we just say Warlock? Like,
yeah, I mean, unfortunately, I think it was like Storm and Cyclops and Wolverine and I think maybe like, Kitty Pryde.
Yeah, just like the ones that you know.
Yeah, it was very, like, mid to late 90s X-Men.
Yeah, it seems like Kitty Pryde has managed to piggyback her way into a lot of, like, people's top five X-Men somehow.
Yeah.
Because normally it's like, the big five are like, you know, Wolverine, Rogue, Cyclops, Storm, and, I don't know, Beast?
See, thing is, Colossus. Whenever I think of the top five, I always go with
the original. Yeah, the original five, which makes sense. Then you,
except
that gives you,
you usually trade Angel out for Colossus because I love Colossus and I don't care how much of a big baby man he is.
Yeah, that's fair enough. He is a total big baby man, but I've harped on his big baby manitudes for multiple episodes now, and I don't think it's necessary any further. I mean, especially because eventually, at least in the Ultimate Universe, he turns out to be like gay, and at that point, I don't want to call him a big baby man. I only want to do it when he's being a bitch to his girlfriends.
Yeah, see, and there's plenty of stuff in later comics where he's like, hey guys, let me sit you down and tell you why it's wrong to be an asshole to people.
Yeah.
And I'm like, thanks, Colossus.
I'm glad you learned your lesson from ditching your girlfriend for someone who doesn't speak the same language as you because she's blonde.
Oh, man, the writers on that. What the fuck?
Come on, Secret Wars.
Get your shit together, Secret Wars.
It's a shame because it was so rad otherwise. I especially like the part where Spider-Man straight up clowns all of the X-Men at once.
Man, Spidey, good job on that.
That was fantastic. He was just like, he got in there, he got the black suit or something, and then they realized he was in their base, and he was like, oh, we're going to get you, and he was like, no, you're not.
I'm Spider-Man.
I have, like, more powers than all of you.
All of you get one thing. I've got all of these spider powers.
I'm so good at being Spider-Man. How good are you at being Beast? Fairly good. Mow my stars and garters, like, you know.
I mean, I've been on Avengers as well, so,
you know. I'm a founding member of the X-Men. Yeah, shut up. No one cares. I'm a founding Spider-Man.
I'm the founding Spider-Man.
All right. Let's see. There's just a couple more questions here. What ideas for podcasts or YouTube series are not currently a thing, but you guys would love to see made? Nothing. No, you can't have any of our ideas. I'm sorry. It's all intellectual property. You can't have it.
I've learned now that our intellectual pee should not be shared with the masses. We will no longer rain our intellectual pee down upon you.
That's why I've got a new storage method where I keep all of our intellectual pee right here in these glass jars.
Indeed.
Yeah. Also, put on these shoe boxes as shoes.
Get in.
I don't know. Let's think about that as a real question. What are some stuff on you? What's something on YouTube you'd like to see but you haven't seen yet?
There's not a lot. Most of the stuff that you'd want to see on YouTube is there.
Yeah, I'd really like to see two guys from some podcast. Let's say two beardy dudes.
So, what I really want that's not on YouTube at all, two white guys.
Two white dudes
about stuff.
Unboxing board games, and they're called Jeff and John, and it's called Jeff and John Unbox Board Games Mastery. Krillin, I don't have any powers.
I don't have any powers. I'm human.
All right, so let's see. Podcasts that I've always wanted, but I've never been able to get. I really like stuff about older school video game music, and the thing is, I know that one of those exists. It's on a network I'm not a huge fan of, and it's a little dry for my taste. But old school video game music is something I'm a big fan of, and I'd like to hear more of and hear more about. Especially because some of those composer laws about who got to be, like, credited for their music is... Like, for example, no one actually knows who wrote the music to Nintendo's DuckTales. And that is the best music ever written.
Ever. Any music ever
literally
written.
Literally in any format.
Yeah.
Man, that shit had Salieri come back from the grave to cry about.
Zombie Salieri.
Zombie Salieri. It's perfect. Every note in this moon theme is perfect. Just standing in front of a Nintendo, play Salieri. All right, and do you have anything you wanted to throw in there?
No, like I said, I think most things I'd want to see are basically out there.
That's the thing. It's already a wide, awesome market.
Yeah, I found mostly just be things I already like, but with better hosts.
Yeah, the other day I found a System Mastery equivalent podcast, someone who was reviewing old and dead role-playing games before we did. And I tried listening to it. It was bone dry. It was like our pilot episode. It was like, and I listened to like their 15th episode, so I was like checking it because our pilot episode was like, I'm Jeff and I believe that the reason that it's okay for me to review role playing games is because of my role playing game experience.
I've played a lot of role playing games in my life. It's role playing games experience.
Yeah, we didn't quite realize yet that the brand wasn't in our bona fides.
Yeah,
but these guys were like. Okay, so at this point, the Traveler license was extended to... I'm not going to name them because that'd be mean.
Yeah.
But there has been at least one other podcast that we built on top of that I didn't even know about.
Meh.
There's just no new ideas anymore.
Nothing.
Yeah. So, okay, last question from Fuzzy Gundam. What do you guys think is the secret to watchable or listenable RPG live plays? I can listen to you guys on your hour-long live plays of wacky concepts, but I can't stay invested in stuff like the Geek and Sundry campaign. Even great people like OneShot, I can't seem to connect to them for an entire episode. What do you think is the secret, or is it all a matter of taste? I think it actually is all a matter of taste.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be, are you interested in the property, are you interested in the characters, and are you interested in the tone?
And the performances of the performers. Like, the story has to be good, so does the method by which it's being played through. It's very tricky.
Well, it's not even just that it has to be good. It has to be something that you care about.
Yeah.
I mean, when we're live playing, we're not good.
Oh, well, the thing is, we don't try for long-term live play.
No.
At least, we've not done that yet. I mean, we have those three episodes of Triniton with one shot, and... Lord knows we were, that was on the edge. That center could not hold.
That was spiraling into madness.
James luckily is a real expert at noticing when that's happening and just swiftly bringing the whirlpool to a close. So, that's kind of our specialty, is that everything eventually jaggers into chaos. But, you know, the only one of those that I actually personally, I mean, I listen to some stuff by Swallows of the South here and there, and then also I listen to the campaign podcast because I like the people involved with them and because the people who are doing them are quality improvisers.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a really important distinction. Both of those podcasts, and there's, I'm sure there's others, and I just, I'm like you here. I have a hard time getting connected to a long-term story. I mean, to you, Fuzzy Gundam. I'm sure John has the same problem, but...
Oh, yeah. Well, the thing is, anytime I try and do anything, and I've seen, like, either live plays on YouTube or listening to them on podcasts, I feel like I'm more likely to be okay with it in something like Harmon Quest, where it's funny and short, and you've got, like, the animated thing going on.
Yeah. Although I was thinking about Harmon Quest, but I didn't want to give it even more credit than it already has, because its primary method why it works at all is because it's full of famous people.
Yeah,
I mean, and they don't really have to do anything that has anything to do with D&D.
No, like, that's the thing. Is
yeah.
I'm more interested in a weird, goofy, dick around improv than I am in sticking straight to an RPG.
Yeah, I'm always wary of giving credit to the stuff that's being done by celebrities, because it's like. Any day now, Will Wheaton's going to release his "Hey, let's review bad RPGs" podcast, and he will drill us into the dirt and take all our money plus several thousand dollars more.
Oh man, you read my fic about Will Wheaton drilling me into the dirt.
I'm sorry, was it called Will Wheaton drills me into the dirt? Button? Is that the...
Yeah, your name is Button in this, by the way.
My name is Button. Oh, it's comma Button. You're
yeah,
just telling me
Button.
It's one of those alternate reality fics where we're actually different people entirely.
Yeah.
Oh, man, I can't wait for the movie license. Also, I feel like we should tell Chuck Tingle about this title.
Dear Chuck Tingle.
Just so you know, we're true bucks, and this is a fiction based on your amazing works. Billionaire dice pounded dinosaur ass. Okay, so there you go. Like I was saying, I think a lot of it just has to do with finding people who you connect with, and to me... At least speaking for myself, that's people who are very good at improv and who are good at letting the rules jump out of the way.
Yep.
All right, so let's move on to the next one. Comes to us from Dan Kobe. Dan Kobe asks, "Hi guys, love the show. I get the sense that you two are hurting for content, so I have a suggestion disguised as a question. Have you considered doing System Mastery Mastery, a show where you review your old shows, reviewing old RPGs, 1d6 damage at a time, 1d6 damage at a time? Yes. We have considered doing that.
Man. That'd be real painful, honestly, for me.
I'd have a fun time with it.
I mean, the first time I went back and listened to one of our old episodes, just because I was like, oh, did we mention something on something? And I think I went back to like one of the first ones, like Buffy or something. And I started listening to it and went, oh, good Lord, we are... bad. We're just awful at everything.
Well, there's no rhythm in the first like 10 episodes or so. I think some of them have some really good material in them. Like I'm still a huge fan of Prime Directive, which is literally episode 4, and episode 10 is Haven. So I mean that's kind of where we first were like, hey, wait a minute, it's okay to just straight up bust on these games and not have to act like we're being serious in the slightest.
No.
So I think those first 10 are very ripe for us to go back in there and break them down and talk about them. I think we could do some director's commentary on those.
Oh my God, just release a track the exact same length as the episode to riff tracks over it.
Yeah, just playing it very quietly in the background whenever we start talking, like fade out so we can talk over it.
Yeah.
Although it's going to be like every single director's commentary in the world in that it's just going to be two people affably talking about how great everyone on set was. I hate director's commentaries because every time I'm like, all right, let's see what these guys have to say. Maybe I'll learn some insight about the movie. Yeah, the key grip was here in this scene. He was a wonderful man, probably the best key grip in the industry. He one time brought me coffee, and we had a wonderful talk about our favorite films. Oh, and in this scene, the best boy, briefly visible there in the shot, a lovely person, has three great kids. I went to one of their bar mitzvahs. Fantastic, fantastic. Did you have anything you wanted to contribute?
No.
All right, so anyway, that's because you, of course, a little taciturn, but definitely the best in the industry. One of my favorite people, just a wonderful human being. Oh, in this scene, there's probably some people shooting at each other or something, but definitely that actor right there, just a godsend. Just so generous with their time. I hate them. I've never listened to one I cared about.
The only director's commentary that I've ever loved is the one for Cannibal the Musical.
Oh, yeah?
It's Matt and Trey and all the people in that movie, and it's like the first movie they ever made.
Mm-hmm.
And it is just them getting progressively more drunk as it goes until they're just farting on each other at the end of it.
Yes, I think I could totally do a director's commentary that was a gimmick.
Yeah.
I'd be perfectly fine with that. If, like, the whole time throughout the director's commentary, there were two people in the room and they just kept calling people from the movie.
Well, the entire thing is they're like, oh, man, I forgot. You named your horse in this movie after your ex-girlfriend. You were so angry at her. Yeah, I was. And it was just, like, weird, stupid commentary as they got drunk.
That I would actually be okay with. All right, so let's see here. Anyway, yes, we have considered that. Next question comes to us from Jagnoman. And Jagnoman asks, Dear Host One and Host Also, I've been working on a silly little rules light to celebrate Star Wars in a manner similar to Lasers and Feelings' celebration of Star Trek. Once I have everything nailed down, I want to make it available for free online, but I am in no way web savvy. How would you recommend I make May D4s Be With You? There's a title, by the way, May D4s Be With You. That's pretty fun. Yep. Yeah, available to the fun-loving tetrahedronians of the weird wide web. Also, I wrote a hot dog haiku. Okay, here it is. Hot dog, dog. Condiments, only mustard. Hot, hot. Dog, hot dog.
Good. Great.
Condiments, only mustard. Man, hard pass. I dislike mustard.
Yeah, mustard's garbage on a dog.
Yeah. I mean, take that, Chicago, right?
Yeah, fuck you, Chicago, and anyone living there.
Literally anyone we know in Chicago.
Literally everyone in Chicago, including your sister.
Yeah, that's going to be a real problem for me. Oh, no, wait, she doesn't listen to this garbage. She's a successful, like, happy person.
Yeah, successful, happy people don't listen to us.
No, neither do shiny, happy people.
They're off holding hands. Why would they be listening to us?
Listen to us, Chicago. We're eating hot dogs with ketchup on them.
How angry are you about that?
Also, I can put my fist into a pizza and it comes out the other side instead of just disappearing. Cue the emails from Chicagoans telling us that those deep dish pizzas are for tourists. Yes, we know. We know. And also that not everyone is ridiculous crazy about their mustard there. Usually it's not so much that they love mustard, but that they hate ketchup.
Hate ketchup.
They seem to just... Chicago seems... I don't know what's going on in Chicago where there's, like, so little to do there that they just have time to be real angry about food.
Man, get your red sauce situation sorted out.
Yeah, it's just a weird thing. I mean, it seems like there's so many wonderful things coming out of Chicago. There's great plays. There's good music coming out of Chicago. That's a great scene.
Awful improv.
Yeah, the improv scene there is just...
Just
you know,
the worst.
Compared to the San Diego famous improv scene.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, where we
our San Diego version of the Groundlings.
Yeah, and Second City and so on.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, we have upwards of two guys doing improv. I've heard they may soon get a girl.
Ooh, doggy.
No, just kidding. Everything about Chicago except for the whole ketchup thing is fantastic. So, what the heck was the actual question? Oh, how do you get your Star Wars game out there?
Get a website. Go to squarespace.com. Squarespace. You should.
Folks, let's talk about Squarespace. By signing up with Blue Apron, you get...
If you want a crate in your mail every month full of food...
Can I tell you, I am actually very slightly open to doing advertising, but only for, like, projects I would give a shit about. Like, I would be okay advertising for people's Kickstarters, for example. But Loot Crate is literally the furthest from anything I would be willing to do. It is there's nothing except maybe stamps.com that I would be less likely to advertise for than Loot Crate.
Yeah, I would definitely advertise for farmersonly.com.
I'm perfectly fine with Farmers Only. That seems reasonable.
Yeah.
Yeah. But But Loot Crate is like, it's not so much that Loot Crate's a bad product. I mean, it is. It's a dumb product for sheep or for rubes, but rather the people who have to do it, like when I've heard the podcasts that have Loot Crate ads in them, I'm always like, oh, you poor bastards trying to hype up that this month it's Doctor Who themed. You'll get a Funko Pop, a random t-shirt, and a bunch of shit that was going to be free at conventions.
Yeah, that is what I've noticed in basically every box, regardless of what it is. For a while, I got a horror box because I'm a huge horror film fan.
Mm-hmm.
And my sister got me one, like a subscription to it for several months for Christmas. And it would show up, and it always had, like, you got a t-shirt.
Yeah.
And then it was maybe one goofity thing, like some kind of toy. And then just a bunch of crap that you knew was like, oh, yeah, we would hand this out if we were at some convention.
Yeah, like a collectible playing card.
That- oh, yeah. You get like, oh, here's a nice little bookmark for you and a pen and
mini comic book.
Here's like a horror themed magazine that I'm sure probably costs maybe 20 cents if you wanted to buy it.
Yeah. So anyway, that's how you advertise for your Star Wars game. Thanks for asking. I'm just kidding. The thing that we had to do, because we started from nothing, this is our first ever.
Yeah, we started from the bottom and now we're here.
We're now here, several inches from the bottom. What we had to do to get started was attack a lot of media channels. Like before I started the show, I was deeply against Twitter. I didn't want to go on it. I thought it was vapid. I found a lot of interesting, smart people on Twitter doing awesome things at this point, but it meant I had to go to Twitter, Reddit. We started on something awful, Facebook, Google Plus. You need to go out to the most channels you possibly can, and you need to post it to places where people are actually interested in your product. Get that shit on a subreddit. That's a very good place to post that sort of thing. Reddit, regardless of what you think about the political parts of Reddit, which everyone should think the worst, the parts of it that are just eager nerds are actually very useful for spreading out your ideas.
Yeah.
And seeing as how this question came from Reddit, you know that already.
Yeah.
So I would recommend Reddit, which it took us 3 months to start on.
Yeah, just get a fucking WordPress or some shit. Yeah. Put your thing up there.
Well, you know, if you're doing it, if you're just releasing a free game for free, you know, the other thing is DriveThruRPG is perfectly happy to host free stuff. So if you want to post your game idea to DriveThruRPG as a completed PDF, they'll host it for you, and then people can go and download it from there, and that name has cachet, so that's a good way to get started. So let's see. Addendum. Actually, let's see what this is. Addendum. You don't need to read this on Afterthought. I just wanted to make the suggestion.
Ah.
An idea for a Patreon goal to distribute to those who contribute to the Patreon. When you two go to see a new movie in the theaters for Movie Mastery, you could review the trailers they played before the movie.
Nah.
It's not a bad idea, although I invariably forget them. And honestly, it would just end up being reviewing the fucking Chevy commercial.
No, you are not working your Chevy rant into this Afterthought.
Can I
No. Yeah? Bad. Don't let me get the spray bottle out, because I'll do it.
Just the tip?
Nope.
Damn it. But I bad. Hate it. I hate J.D. Power and Associates so much.
J.D. and his Power Associates.
They're the worst. No one in the history of anyone who doesn't work at car companies has ever cared about one.
Also, let me tell you something. Man, the Power Associates, great superhero team.
Did they fight the Power Pack, or were they just their associates?
They're just the associates.
So they're the friends of the Power Pack. Not really friends so much as just associates. I mean, they're not the Power Friends, or even the Power Colleagues, really.
No.
They're just associates.
Yeah.
All right, so anyway, I won't do my Chevy rant today, but listeners are going to be mad because they would have wanted to hear it.
Oh, they want it, but that's going to be bonus content.
Yeah, he's right, because we should totally make that bonus content. And if we hit $512, Jeff, oh, we passed that.
Yeah.
Jeff will totally rant about those goddamn Chevy commercials.
Every week.
Where everyone's amazed by doors opening.
Oh my God.
I can't believe this warehouse has doors. I'm doing it. The rant's happening.
God damn it.
I'm just sneaking around to it.
Just, no. Bad.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry I'm talking about people who are not actors, who are very clearly actors. What?
Stop it. Stop it. Next question.
Oh, okay. Sure. Fine. Next question comes to us from Gaming Hipster.
Next question comes to us from J.D. Power and Associates.
Gaming Hipster asks, Jeff, could you please rant about those Chevy ads for a while? And don't let John stop you no matter what. Turn off his mic if you have to. He actually asks, I've just remembered that a friend of mine used to have a book of stupid binary questions intended to amuse people sitting around drinking. I can only recall two of them, and I'm going to update one of them to modern times, but here we go. Number one, John, this is going. These are Would You Rathers.
Yep.
So in the strong rules of Would You Rather, I will ask you. You are free to ask me any questions. And at the end, it is not about what you picked.
Yeah.
Okay, you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Would you rather have sex with Michelle Bachmann or a mahogany coat rack?
Well, I'm going to ask, is there holes on that mahogany coat rack?
I'm going to say yes. It's one of those coat racks that's also a light fixture, so there is a hole at the bottom of the base where the light where the cord goes in.
Okay.
And there's also a light, an unscrewable light socket, so you have one of those old-school spirally light sockets.
Okay. Now, next question.
Yeah.
Is this hooked up to electricity, and is my dongus going to get shock-o'd?
Okay. So since you weren't specific about the question, I'm going to point out that, yes, Michelle Bachmann has been electrified during this situation, and your dongus will get shock-o'd if you touch her. The coat rack, on the other hand, has never been plugged into anything and, in fact, is immersed in about 3 inches of water.
Okay, good,
yeah.
Good. Now, is Michelle Bachmann going to speak at all during this?
She will, but she will have reverb effects on her voice just like, say, The Shocker or Electro would were they in a good movie.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, does that mean she's going to do an Itsy Bitsy Spider song for techno? Is that what's going to happen?
Is that what happened in the... Because the Electro was all... It was all like rap rock or like that shitty like Hunger Dunger Dang rock about Electro. It was all like, hey, Spider-Man, now I have electricity powers. Hunger Dunger Dang. That was what was playing whenever he was like doing stuff. That was literally the soundtrack to Electro in that movie.
Nah, man, when he would bounce around and be like, down, 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 down.
I don't know what you're doing, and I refuse to engage with it. So the answer is no, she won't talk.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
Good. All right. Coat rack, fuzzy, or just straight wood?
It's fuzzy where it should be.
Yeah, that's the way I like it. I think I'm gonna go with the coat rack here.
Okay, it's fuzzy in all the right places.
It's fuzzy in all the right places. It's got that '70s coat rack.
So we're with that '70s mahogany coat rack.
Yep.
Okay, fair enough. Second question: would you rather have living eyebrows that crawled around your face, or leave a trail of paprika wherever you went?
Okay. Now, is the paprika that I leave like slimy? Is it a trail on the ground, or is it just sort of like dandruffing off of me?
It's like Mothra dust.
Okay.
Like there's a visible trail on the ground behind you, but there's also some spreading out to either side. You're leaving a wake of paprika.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. And is this constant or only when I'm going? Do I leave the trail, or if I'm like sitting down somewhere, is paprika slowly accumulating?
Well, it says leave a trail of paprika wherever you went. So that would have to be only when you're going places.
Okay,
when,
so
when
if I
moving.
Sit down, I wouldn't accumulate paprika.
No, it's only when you're in motion,
okay,
which
good.
You know, it's very good for you.
Oh, it's great for me because I'm never in motion.
Yeah.
All right. So the eyebrows.
Yeah, living eyebrows that crawl around your face.
Are they crawling like caterpillars, or do they just sort of like the hair moves where it is?
I'm going to say it only happens when you're off screen.
Okay.
So they're moving around, and it's very uncomfortable for you, but it's okay because you're off screen.
Okay, but is it painful for me, or is it like feel like weird things crawling on
it? It's uncomfortable. It's like having bugs on your face.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean... I feel like I gotta go paprika on this.
Yeah, how do you feel about paprika in general?
I'm not against paprika, but I feel like I could probably bottle that shit.
If you just rig up a system where there's like a horse trough behind you.
Oh yeah,
I'll catching get, all that paprika.
Yeah, I'll just take a walk around the neighborhood and get some paprika, put it in some jars. That shit at a farmer's market.
Here's where you're missing out, though, because you've made your choice now, and here's the problem. The living eyebrows work like puppies on women.
That's what the ladies want. Moving eyebrows.
Ladies love them. They're like, oh, they're so cute.
Look at those little caterpillars walking around on your face. That's adorable.
Yeah, you missed out on that. So I'm sorry, but on the other hand, you do get to have a
lucrative
paprika
John's
business.
Own paprika.
Yeah, where you have to tell people it doesn't come from your body.
Yeah, it just appears.
It appears it's from Mountain Springs paprika. It's bottled in the Rockies.
I'd be like, John's own paprika is great, but he doesn't make any other spices or anything.
10% of the proceeds from John's paprika go to Habitat for Humanity. 90% go to John, who is gross and covered in paprika.
90% goes to John, living in one of those houses from Habitat for Humanity.
All right, so let's move on here. Next question comes to us from Havoc 4. This question says... So I have an idea for a supers campaign kicking around in my head, and I wanted to request some ideas from you guys for silly or dumb supervillains to include for lighthearted sessions. Can I get one supervillain concept from each of you with a caveat that they have to be able to get into low Earth orbit somehow? I am planning to set the game on a Galactic Conqueror's spaceship that is still stuck in orbit after he was defeated. Also, there was a period in the late 70s and early 90s where terrible B-movies about superheroes were made and quickly forgotten. Can you think of any B-movies from that period you would like to see remade, or at least the premise recycled with a similar quality and budget to the current Marvel movies?
Huh.
Okay, so what was first question first? One fun supervillain for each of us.
Okay. Man. Well, it's got to get into... Well,
they have to be able to get into
orbit. I
feel
like any villain can get into low Earth orbit. They're a villain.
Yeah. I'm going to go with someone whose entire power set is revolving around being able to get into low Earth orbit. My villain is the only person in the world who's been able to invent a skyhook system. So he's a villain that has a satellite with a giant cable that drags down to Earth, and he has been able to use that to get into low Earth orbit before, but mostly he threatens Earth from low Earth orbit because he keeps saying, if you don't meet my demands, I will drop my skyhook to the ground and it will just carve trails of destruction through the world. Because it's big and heavy and covered in, I don't know, lawnmowers.
Yeah, lawnmowers, obviously.
So many lawnmowers just stapled to the outside of it.
Yeah, and he's called the lawnmower.
I don't know.
Man.
You caught me out of guards here. A guy with a giant cable covered in lawnmowers is my villain.
There you go.
His villain name is Lawnmower Dude.
The lawnmower guy.
The lawnmower gentleman. Hey, hang on. Lawnmower gentleman is actually sounding like a really good...
Wait, hold on.
My villain just swings a lawnmower around.
Hold on. Wait a minute.
He gets into low Earth orbit because he's Richard Branson.
Yeah, there you go. It's actually Richard Branson.
Evil Richard Branson who fights with a lawnmower.
Great. Wonderful.
What do you got that's so good, Mr. Big Shot?
I'm going to use one of my old villains that I created for a campaign that never happened.
Oh, shoot. I should have just done that.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
But I had the Apothecary, who is a villain that has been around since the Civil War.
Mm-hmm.
And he's basically just a drug-based villain. But he has, of course, gone through many iterations over the years. So in his old-timey ones, he was just kind of a weird mad scientist. And then it moved into like the 80s and 90s, and he got a little more extreme. And he got all roided up and had a gun that shot drugs. And then, you know, it got into the 2000s, and he became just a regular guy with a weird background that was a psycho. And nowadays, he's being optioned for a movie, and, of course, it's going to be, you know, much more realistic, but also more tasteful.
It'll give him access to a space shuttle.
Yeah.
All right.
There you go.
There we go. We got a couple of villains. And then the other one was, pick one of those weird movies from the 70s or 90s, which is, incidentally, when the two Captain America movies came out, that you think should be optioned for a movie. Or,
yeah.
Like, to be redone.
Well, what I would love to see is a new Fantastic Four.
Well, I can't agree with you until it leaves the hands of Fox.
Yep.
That's just, I don't know why they can't do it. It seems like it should be easy.
You'd think that, and yet.
Yeah. Let's see. I'm going to go with Puma Man.
Puma Man?
Yeah, I think Puma Man.
Puma?
Puma Man, he flies like a moron. Because I think it's about time that we get to see the further adventures of a milquetoast, annoying little British guy who flies at a 45-degree angle, has to fight with Donald Pleasance wielding masks, and hangs around with a big, cool superhero Indian guy named Vadinho, who's way better than him. That was the problem is you meet Vadinho and you're like, oh, look at that guy. That guy should go punch the bad guys.
Ah.
And he's like, I should not. I am your spirit guide. I need to teach you how to be a total tool. So Puma Man's my answer.
Man, you know, you remember this show called My Secret Identity that was...
It was on MTV and it was like a bunch of whiny people and you can't really see it anymore because the music rights are too tangled?
No. It was a superhero thing where it was sort of like... the updated version of Greatest American Hero.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no, I remember it. I was trying to pretend I was talking about my so-called life.
No.
I apologize. The joke fell flat.
Yeah, it was
because I couldn't remember a single actor who was in it.
Jared Leto?
Damn it. Yeah, that's why I couldn't remember him.
There you go.
The most forgettable man in Hollywood.
Nobody knows Jared Leto.
Well, I feel like that's the only way you could legitimately piss him off, is to call him forgettable.
But yeah, no, it had... oh, shit, I forgot his name. From Sliders. Why can't I remember his name?
Julia Louis-Dreyfus.
Yes, obviously.
Jonathan Rhys-Davies.
Nope.
He was on Sliders, though.
I know.
I'm getting closer.
Jerry...
McConnell? Justin Whalen?
Yes. Whalen Smithers.
Justin Whalen's a real person.
Justin Whalen
He was the
Smithers.
Star of Dungeons & Dragons.
But it was him, and he got, like, superpowers from some lab accident,
mm-hmm.
And it's him... trying to figure out how to use superpowers.
Okay, I can see that. How about, what's it called, Small Wonders? Do you think that'd make a pretty good dramatic movie?
How about The Secret World of Alex Mack?
Ooh, yeah, there we're getting somewhere.
Yeah.
How about Roswell?
What was that show, like Jake 2.0 or something?
The one where he has no belly button? Or is that something XY?
I think that might be Jake XY. I think they're all Jake something.
Yeah, well, Jake's
my secret Jake, the secret world of Alex Jake.
Yeah, I always liked Cat Jake, where the front half of him is cat and the back
cat
half of
Jake.
Him is... Cat Jake! Angry Jakes.
Two stupid Jakes.
Jake and Jake, and then one of them is a cat and the other one's a chihuahua.
Jake and the fat man. The fat man is also named Jake.
That's good. I like that.
let's move on.
No, please. This is not a fertile area.
Gold, Jerry. Gold.
All right. I've got a few more questions here, and I think we have time for one or two more.
All right.
Let's go. This one's kind of a letter. It's got a lot of questions in it, so we'll finish out with this one. Dear Jeff and John, from James.
Dear James.
I don't know which James. This isn't the James you're thinking it is, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So
McAvoy.
It's James McAvoy. Yeah. So, dear Jeff and John, I'm James McAvoy. I don't know if I'm British or not. I think I am. I mean, I'm probably British, right?
Right? Yeah. Or is this like a killer situation?
I don't know. Is James McAvoy British? What's his actual accent?
I don't know, man. I've never listened to James McAvoy when he's not doing a character.
Yeah, that's a thing. All right, so... The other day, I fell asleep listening to your podcast and dreamed that I was presenting it with you. I became increasingly annoyed that you guys were ignoring me until I woke up and realized why. It's because I'm British. Oh, damn it. He told us right there in the...
God. Damn it, James McAvoy.
Oh, okay, so James McAvoy is British. This has been confirmed now. Thank you, James McAvoy, but lead with it next time.
Come on, you got to lead with that.
I mean, legally, you have to lead with it.
You have to tell us.
It's like being a sex offender. You have to walk around and tell everyone in the neighborhood that you're British.
If I walk up to you and I ask if you are British, you have to tell me it's the law.
Especially if you're a bobby, which is their silly little word for cops. All right, so... Because I'm British. Still, it would be nice to get some answers to the questions you so rudely ignored in my dream. A house rule that my group frequently uses in percentile games is if you roll a 66, roll another d10. If it's also a 6, something wild and unexpected happens. Is this a good rule or not? It's all right. I mean, it's a 1 in 100 followed by another 1 in 10, which means you're looking at a 1 in 1,000 chance of something interesting happening.
Yeah.
So, I mean, well, it's a perfect...
Which, I mean, I assume in any given British RPG game... A 1 in 1,000 chance of something interesting happen is probably pretty good.
Actually, we could make the answer simpler. He does say to roll another D10, which means that he rolled it on 2D10 in the first place, but otherwise it could have just been rolled a 66 on 2D6. But
that's not a 66, that's two sixes.
Man, there are games that use D6s for percentile. Toon does that.
I know there are.
Yeah, but anyway... it is a fine rule. It seems like it would come up too rarely to really be all that fascinating. I mean, I like the joke of it, of course, but
yeah.
But otherwise, it's super rare. Why do you guys live in a Baroque mansion? And what was the implication of the artifact we dug up in the Swampy Gardens? Oh, so this is like a betrayal on the House on the Hill type situation.
Well, in the Swampy Gardens,
yeah,
we had to dig up that trowel.
Mm-hmm. That's what we needed—a shovel. So we dug one up.
Exactly. So we got all muddy and dug up a shovel.
Yeah. And then the shovel had a code tied to it, and the code was for a free mansion.
One free mansion, please.
Just walk up to any mansion, present them with this shovel, and that mansion indeed is yours.
It.
Oh, I was really enjoying living in this mansion, I was.
Because I've got a golden shovel.
Man, that is such a good movie.
It's great.
You can go watch that movie right now.
In fact, fuck this podcast.
Goodbye, everybody. We're going to watch Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. Oh, I'm sorry. Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. We will not be watching Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
Indeed not.
Yeah. Goddamn. Let's see. Dr. Magnet hands with Everway cards. Genius or terrible?
Pretty terrible.
Yeah, it's not... I mean,
you're kind of an idiot.
No, it's...
I don't blame you. You're British.
Are we just jokingly being mean to a British person? Is that what this bit is?
Maybe. All right. Maybe it's a joke.
I'll tell you why I'm not 100% on board with Dr. Magnet Hands with Everway cards. Because 3/4 of the fun of Dr. Magnet Hands is writing out the cards and then seeing other people draw them.
Yes, that is true. It is 100% accurate that the point of that game is to make something stupid and then have someone else try and work your dumb idea into a game.
Yeah, and then when they draw, like, there's nothing that makes me madder than drawing my own cards in that game.
Right.
Because I'm like, oh, my genius, it's going to go wasted because no one's going to wonder who did this.
My joke, I knew
Yeah, because every time I play it, my favorite part of it is when other people are pulling their cards out, they look at one and go, I can do nothing with this. This is useless. Who did this? So anyway, let's see. If the Welsh are so terrible, how come their national dish is cheese on toast, which can also be found in any self-respecting cheese dudes? Well, while that's true that cheese on toast can be found in every available cheese dudes, the problem is that the national dish of the Welsh is not actually cheese on toast. That's a common misconception. The national dish of the Welsh is melted bread served over a cup of cold-shelled sea snails.
Yeah, true facts.
Yeah, and it's gross.
And called Gofflelech Gagalof.
Yeah, that's Gofflelech Gagalof. That's not bad.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, is the official dish of the Welsh, and I think, you know, unfortunately, it just doesn't get a lot of mention in the media, mostly because cheese on toast is far easier to pronounce.
Right.
But if you ask 9 out of 10 Doctor Who's, they'll tell you that Gofflelwelflelaklelakalof is their favorite food.
Yeah. 9 out of 10 Doctor Who's.
9 out of 10 Doctor Who's agree.
The last one's a Doctor Whom.
I'm just saying that because Doctor Who is a Welsh show. Is it
so Welsh?
Is it Welsh or is it like from Cornwall? I always forget.
Cornwallis?
It's from Cornwallis. Let's see. We'll do one more of these.
Unimas.
If you find a pack of frozen pre-made hot dogs, which is a hot dog question, John. Hot dog question, everybody. Here we go. One hot dog question incoming. Should we play the hot dog question theme song?
Of course.
And indeed we will. All right, great. Now, question, here we go. If you find a pack of frozen pre-made hot dogs, bun and all, in the supermarket for a really good price, but some are missing and it's the last pack, do you still buy it? In my dream, I instead bought too many onions and I think I made the wrong choice.
Well, yeah, you bought too many onions.
Yeah, you bought too many of something. So wait, hang on. Pre-made hot dogs with bun in the supermarket in the freezer.
Man, that sounds terrible. Because then you're going to get a super boiling hot bun or a normal bun and a cold dog.
Well, my problem with buying any of those like pre-made all the way assembled like burgers and dogs is that there's no way to not sog the bun.
Oh yeah.
Like every time I've ever been like, "Ooh, frozen pre-made like White Castle sliders," and it's like what you get is melted bread served atop of a cup of shelled sea snails instead
That's
of
what you get.
Instead of a burger. I think the whole thing is some kind of Welsh conspiracy.
Obviously.
I can't recommend it. So I would
System Mastery does not recommend.
Yeah, System Mastery is against Gofflewalla Hocklewalklach. I think I'm still pretty close.
You're getting there.
Yeah, no, I think I'm getting further.
Yeah, you were close when you first did it. Now you're just getting farther and farther away.
Well, yeah, you try it.
Hey, man, I'm the one who originally did it.
Did what?
I've named their food.
Oh, I'm sorry. What did you name it?
I think that the record will show that I already got it and won.
All right. So I'd probably go for too many onions myself.
Too many onions?
Yeah, I'd end up with too many onions. But you know what? That's just going to encourage me to cook with onions in the future.
You could give onions to people.
Yeah. People love it when you give them an onion. That's
like onion Santa.
Man, a nice decorative fall onion makes such a wonderful gift. You bead that thing up on some string. You wear it around your neck. People are going to say, oh, look, there goes a fancy fine fellow with an onion around his neck.
There's a guy confused about the rules of vampires.
Well, it just keeps away useless British vampires.
Well, anything that keeps the British away, I am okay with.
Well, it's any vegetable that has any taste to it at all. So,
well,
I think that's pretty good. Folks, we've been the Afterthought Podcast. I'm Jeff, that's John. You can find us at SystemMasteryPodcast.com, System Mastery on Facebook, Reddit, Gmail, or Twitter. You can also follow us, our Movie Mastery Podcast, where we review terrible films. Sometimes they're chosen by you. Other times they are chosen by you, but we roll randomly. The whole thing is that we don't get to make any choices.
No. Yeah. We have no input on this.
No, we just watch horrible movies. So you can find that at SystemMasteryPodcast.com as well. If you want, you're always welcome and encouraged to support our Patreon. If you give us any amount of money whatsoever, you unlock our bonus content where we make characters in our System Mastery game. They're good episodes. I highly recommend them. Otherwise, thank you so much for listening. We'll see you in a week with our fatal review because you paid for it. And have a good week.
Yeah. enjoy your week.
Enjoy your burrito. Oh, wait, that's the Nerdist slogan. Do not enjoy a burrito.
Play more games. Wait, hold on.
Hang on. I keep getting this wrong. Let's see. What's? I can't think of any other
what's
podcast.
Our slogan?
The Wolf Dead.
Absolutely.
Sit, Ubu. Sit.